You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome along to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to two national hunt fixtures from Wetherby and Exeter, and there's action on the all-weather on the fibre sand over at Suddle. You'll hear every race live and in full from 1:50pm on William Hill's Racing Radio in the company of Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi. But joining myself, Sam Norris, ahead of all the action to preview four races on Tuesday is Ross Briley.
Hello, Sam Norris.
How are you? Spring has sprung, Ross.
It has indeed. Although, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure your boob tube and Bermuda shorts are entirely necessary.
What about the flip-flops?
The flip-flops look good, to be fair.
Okay.
It's a rare man who can pull off a pair of flip-flops on the 21st of March, Sam, but you are a rare man indeed.
Thank you. I'll take it as a compliment, as I know it was intended as one, Ross.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, Sam. I have nothing but the utmost respect for you.
Good.
And good. Whatever it is you do.
Yeah, indeed. Have you enjoyed the last few days? You've been an ever-present in the Racing Radio studio.
Oh, it's true, yes. I can't help but feel that I've forgotten how to get out of the building. Yeah, no, I have really enjoyed it, actually. The problem was, I've done Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Friday we went on at 12:30 for Cheltenham, and I was that excited. I did go off a bit quick, and I've been struggling to keep up that momentum ever since. Come post Fox Hunters on Friday, I realised I'd used up about 3 days worth of energy in 4 hours. So that's been the downside. But it's actually been really good racing. Saturday was really good for a post Cheltenham day. Sunday, of course, the Curragh. It was beautiful to see. Some flat racing back on grass and some really nice horses as well. So what more could you want?
Absolutely.
Could you possibly want some, Norris?
Indeed. We'll get stuck into the Monday jury in just a second, Ross. But one thing I want to talk to you about first is one of the headlines that has come out of Sunday's action. We don't often have headlines from Sunday.
No, apart from usually the headlines for Sunday is, can't we do better than this crowd?
Yeah, look how well Ireland and France are doing. And
yes,
look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
But we saw Long Run return to the track after more than a 600-day absence. Of course, the 2011 Cheltenham Gold Cup winner finished fifth in a Hunter's Chase at Carlisle and was subsequently retired. And Sam Whaley-Cohen's picked up a ban for not riding the horse out to its fullest potential.
Bobbins. It's utter bobbins.
Bobbins? Right.
I think it's nonsense, yeah. The horse... obviously, I was in here watching the race, and I had quite a strong opinion about halfway around that this horse had absolutely no chance of winning, mainly because he made one bad mistake where, I mean, he's always had his jumping issues, where he pretty much took off too soon and the back half of his body came through the fence with him. He then did exactly the same thing at the next fence. He then shortened it into the fence after that and then made a mistake after that, yet still was there on the outside. Then they came around the bend and he was forced wide, and it was clearly a horse who was not in particularly good health after that. Those mistakes had taken their toll and he faded tamely. He was never, ever going to get involved. There's only two places for betting purposes. I don't see what the problem was, really.
Well, that was, as you mentioned there, only two places on offer. The BHA come out and have said their idea of where the horse could have finished was third. So...
Well, yes, he could have finished third if he'd continued
but
beating
as you quite rightly pointed out, what would it matter to anyone whether he finished third or not?
It would have only mattered
tri-cast
to
players.
We don't have tri-cast in Hunter Chases.
Oh yeah,
so it makes no difference.
No one then really
to anyone other than connections who are very wealthy people. Yeah. Who were entering a horse who'd won the Gold Cup,
yeah,
for God's sake. They're not going to be like, oh, well, I'm really, and not to mention that, but the jockey. They're all the same connections. They're
yeah,
the same family.
It's
not as if the connections have gone and gone a minute. You've scabbed us for third place prize money here. I think it's nonsense, personally. Especially after last week. Again, we had a lot of positive headlines for Cheltenham. negative headlines with the welfare of us, of horses.
Yes. Yeah.
And suddenly you have to... It beggars belief, personally.
No, I agree.
And I hate it. That sounds... I've gone a bit ranty McRantison.
On your soapbox.
But yeah, no, a little bit. And I don't. I very, very rarely do that. Mm. I do tend to take a nuanced view. But I do think it's absolute... codswallop.
Poppycock,
yeah. Exactly. And all of the other things you can say on radio.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's rubbish.
He's going to appeal, though, and hopefully that ban gets overturned and common sense prevails. Although it doesn't always prevail, does it?
No. I get the feeling there's some sort of magic eight ball common sense approach.
Yeah.
Let's ban him, yeah. A lot of the time. So, should we appeal? Yeah, let's overturn it.
Feels that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I might just stop making all my life. Have you read a book called The Dice Man, Sam?
No.
You should read a book called The Dice Man. It's very good. It's a man who essentially decides to live his life based on the dice. So he decides to exert all control onto the dice. So he gives each number six options. If I roll a five, I'm going to go and do this. If I roll a three, I'm going to go and do this. Mm. Obviously, his life goes into somewhat chaos, but it sounds fun at the time.
Yeah.
So we should just do that. We should do a show based on... Just make all the decisions we need to make on the dice.
That would be
fun.
That would be fun.
I might do that for charity.
I might when I'm in charge of deciding what races and what meetings we're going to take in the morning. I might do it and have you in here covering French provincial tracks instead of Grade One English tracks.
I'd love it if we did. If it normally, Sam, I think you've gone mad. But if you show me a little dice, if you went, huh? I'd love it.
Superb. Let's crack on to the Monday jury next, though, Ross. A review of obviously all things Cheltenham, but we start at the top. Which is a good place to start, I find. Which horses at the festival rocked your world and which left you disappointed?
Rocked my world. It's like a middle-aged woman after she's gone to a Take That concert, isn't it? Oh, they rocked my world. Thistlecrack, obviously. Because he's just... Mainly because I was just right. It's nice to be right. No, he's just an incredible horse. And every time I see him, I get excited about seeing him again. He's just an incredible animal, and I want to see how good he is. And we haven't seen how good he is yet because he keeps beating horses with barely a fraction of effort. He seems to have improved both physically and just in general performance-wise over the past 12 months. And I can't wait to see where he goes next. He'll be 9 years old at next year's Cheltenham Festival. I hope they do go for the Gold Cup. Why the hell not?
Okay, so you're not.
So he rocked my world.
You're not in the camp who say staying hurdle distance and dominate the race.
No, God no, because we know he can do that. So why
you
not find out?
Chasing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's what life's all about, isn't it? Find out what you can do.
Yeah.
People are too scared of failure with these kind of. Obviously, like I said, there is a downside. You don't want to push him too far.
Mm.
But he's in very good hands. Colin Tizard is not a man. He is a man. He's not a man to go overboard.
Yeah.
I get the feeling if he's going to do it. He's going to do it because he thinks it can come off.
Okay. And any left you disappointed?
I suppose in contrast, the only disappointment was Cue Card, bizarrely. Mm. Two sides of the same coin. But only because, obviously, he fell. So people say, oh, it's a bit harsh to be disappointed. But I was just disappointed with the way he jumped up till then.
Mm.
Because I wanted to see a horse who loved the track, which he had done in the past, was in the form of his life, and was going to try and put it up to the younger boys. And... even though he was still on the bridle when he came down, I think those jumping errors would have told eventually. And I would have liked to see him and Don Cossack. I wanted to see those two duel it out with Jack Adam in there as well.
Mm.
So I was disappointed in the sense that we didn't get to see that.
Okay, yeah, that's very fair enough. Question number two then. Who would win in a Fantasy Gold Cup between Konigry, Vautour, Don Cossack, Thistlecrack and Duvan?
Well, it's Thistlecrack, isn't it?
Surely not.
Go through them again and I'll individually.
Konigry. He's obviously won a Gold Cup.
He has won a Gold Cup, but he's obviously had his problems, and he was on the crest of a wave when he won, and it's hard to do that again.
Yeah. Vautour?
Vautour probably wouldn't stay the trip.
Don Cossack?
Again, peaked this year. He's going to be a year older next time.
Thistlecrack, obviously, and Duvan.
And Duvan is, so far, a suspect stayer as well, so... Thistlecrack stays the trip. If he jumps a fence, he wins the Gold Cup by 20 lengths.
Okay. that's a bold, bold prediction.
Well, again, but the Gold Cup is about horses peaking at the time. And you can't. I feel that Konigry probably does have more to come, but but he might not get back to that level.
Yeah,
that's still true. A possibility. Don Kozak has peaked this year. Mm. Vautour's already got question marks over the stamina. Duvan is the unknown quantity, yes. Obviously, because he could be anything. We still, again, he's another one. We don't quite know how good he is. But Thistlecrack has everything in his favour.
Okay. Could any of this season's novices graduate to champion hurdle glory in 2017?
Yes. Altior knocked my socks off a little bit. I thought he was good. I didn't think he was that good. He absolutely careered away. He was getting better at every single stride he took up that hill. And he comes from a yard who, again, I much prefer them to stay over hurdles than go chasing. So I think Altior is a definite contender for next year's champion hurdle. And hopefully he will be trained that way and things will go to plan.
Okay. Give us a future winner or two to emerge from the festival handicaps.
I'll give you four.
Four?
Four.
I only asked for a winner or two.
Well, I'm
above,
giving you...
above and beyond.
I'm giving you four, Sam. What can I say?
Thank you very much.
Al Kempfer is the first one who ran in the Pertemps and was too far back. He was held about the back under Noel Feely, made very steady headway for a yard who aren't in great form, Charlie Longston, which we'll get to a little bit later on as well. But he made very nice headway, I thought, and he immediately struck me. It was his first run since November as well. He immediately struck me as a horse who would go to Aintree, where last year he was third to Thistlecrack in the Sefton. I think if they lower their sights a little bit and go for the 3-mile handicap hurdle, I think he'd have a great chance. He'll get off a lovely weight of 139. Obviously, as we've already discussed, he's got very good form there. He's run twice at Aintree. He's finished fifth in the bumper behind Ballyboley, and he's finished third behind Thistlecrack. The course clearly suits him. I think Al Kempfer was for me, the big eye-catcher of the week in terms of handicap prospects for... Immediately, I thought,
okay,
Aintree's perfect. Starkitect was another one. Mm. He's only had two runs this season for David Pipe. He ran a cracker at Haydock despite getting down on his knees and picking up the final hurdle with him. And he lost his place at a crucial point the other day in a rather hot handicap. Then he stayed on up the hill just to be beaten for a place. So I think Starkitect is very interesting. In his own ownership, I think Red Spinner has to be respected as well. He runs for Kim Bailey and finished fifth behind Solar Impulse in the at the Grand Annual. The key thing about the Grand Annual is they went off insanely fast. Mm. And Red Spinner was very much up there from the outset. He was in front three from home. He just faded, but he finished. He dead-heated for fifth. And I thought he ran an absolute cracker at a big price. And he was fourth behind Dandridge, who finished second before that as well. And the other one was Jetstream Jack, who ran in the Martin Pipe. Was given a stupendously confident ride by Kevin Sexton. Held the pad literally last. Mm. Smoothly travelled all the way through the race, but was hampered by Fowler, who nearly brought him down, and then could only plug on into mid-division. I think if he'd been ridden closer and with a bit of luck, he might have hit the frame, and he still remains unexposed.
Okay, four to take out of the festival handicaps then for Ross. What were the training and riding performances of the week, in your opinion?
Training performances, clearly Sprinter Sacra. Yep. I don't know how anyone could possibly dispute that. The horse is clearly a monster, but to get him back to anywhere near his old form. He was helped by the way the race was run. He was cajoled into it after, again, another insane early gallop. Mm. But it was beautiful to see. And not only that, but to do it all season as well.
Yes.
He didn't just peak at the right at that time. I think that's an incredible performance. I actually thought one of the rides of the week was Sam Twiston Davies on Bally Andy in the bumper, which didn't really get mentioned.
Mm.
Again, another horse who was on the inside and lost his position at a crucial point, but was given an incredibly strong ride up the hill. No inch given by Sam Twiston Davies, and just got up in the shadows of the post in a hard race to win as well. So I thought that was a really good ride. I don't think it was really mentioned. I just thought it was a very good ride from Sam Twiston Davies.
Okay. Who's got an excellent chance of going through the card on Monday at Taunton? I think we won't dwell too much, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll know the outcome of that. But he's got some well-fancied rides today at Taunton.
He's clearly in...
I think he's on five favourites and a second favourite.
Yeah, and he had a good week last week. So he's going to be in pretty good heart. He had a winner at Kempton as well. He went close at Foss last on Sunday. Everything he's riding at the moment is responding.
Yeah. Final question then on this week's Monday Jury. If you had to lose a race to make way for a mare's chase, what would it be and why? And your answer can't be, I don't want a mare's chase.
Okay. I don't know, really. Because the cross-country would be one of people's first choices, but I quite like it just for the oddness of it.
I quite like the cross. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I quite like the cross-country.
Just as
just a little bit of a... Just something different.
Just of a bizarre spectacle.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm still... I know Limini was impressive, but I still think the
Mare's Novices Hurdle.
The Mare's Novices Hurdle was a bit... I was left a bit cold by that. So even though it's only just appeared, I'd probably swap it for a mare's chase. At least you get a bit more excitement.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think we can get a bit more creative, potentially, with the races. I'd love to... People keep saying a veterans chase. I'd love to see a veterans chase.
Yeah, I would actually, yeah.
That'd be fun.
They seem to have been incredibly popular and welcomed by punters, trainers. Everyone seems to have universally enjoyed the veterans chase series this year.
Yeah, and the mayor's programme this year has been boosted, but it's still a bit still a bit dull.
No, fair enough. Okay, that wraps up the Monday Jury for this week. Then we'll move ahead to look at some of Tuesday's action. Now, Ross, we've got two to come from Suddle, one from Exeter and one from Weatherby. We start with these Suddle races and we begin with their 4 o'clock. A handicap here over 5 furlongs. 6 runners are declared for this Class 4 event. 1 or 2 bring winning form into the race. What did you like the look of?
It's a tough one, miss. A very tough one, because everything's kind of got pluses and negatives here. Ticking away, one last time out here at this track, it wasn't a particularly good race. He was well placed to do so. Same comments apply for Mysterious Look as well. So it's rather a tough race to weigh up. Fiorian will probably be popular as well, but has become very disappointing. So there's not much I'm getting too excited about. Socialites Red is mildly interesting. I take half a chance with That's All I'm Saying, who's drawing box one. She's had some incredibly tough tasks. She finished second at Newbury behind What Do I Want That Far in a good listed race off the back of a Chepstow maiden win. Since then, the handicappers thought she's a 100-rated horse, which is quite plainly nonsense. But she's down to a mark of 84, which is just about what she got given before winning that listed race. So I think she might have actually found a level now. As I said, she's drawn in box one as well. And I think she might be worth chancing because she'll be a big price, but it's not a race I particularly liked.
Okay, That's All I'm Saying then for David Evans, gets the choice in the 4 o'clock. We go to the 4:30 at Suddle now. Next race on their card, Class 5 event here over at 6 furlongs. 10 runners line up for this one, so plenty to go out here. Ross, what were the thoughts?
Again, another tough race. Going down in chronological order, or in race card order, sorry. Lackaday in good form, but stuck in box one. Percy's Gal's been off the track for a while, although does have course form. Jarret has distance worries. Monsieur Jimmy won easily the other day, but this is tougher. Spatestown's Kid's gone off the boil. Viva Verglas didn't win over the trip. Spawarticus is probably going to get taken on the lead by his stable mate Sir Geoffrey. Danish Duke is better over 7, albeit is another front runner and has been fading over that trip. So I was left with Daylight. Mick Easterby's charge. The one problem I have is he's by Firebreak, who doesn't have a particularly good all-weather record. However, he has run a couple of nice races here at this track. I thought he could get the race run to suit. And he was a mild interest again at another big price. But I thought everything else was a bit of a muchness.
Fair enough. Daylight it is then in the 4:30. It's often the best way to find winners, I guess. Just discount them one by one until you're left with...
Yes, it's the Sherlock Holmes approach.
Indeed. Let's go to Exeter now. I'm taking a couple of races for National Hunt fans. This one is the 4:10, a handicap chase here over 3 miles. 8 runners line up for this Class 2 event. Exeter's feature race of the day, Ross. What were the thoughts?
Charlie Longston's got 2. Dropout Joe, who ran disappointingly at Doncaster last time out, and Azure Fly, who has conditions to suit. But his yard, again, pretty quiet at the moment. How Long Is a Foot was disappointed in a race he really should have done better in last time out, and he has to really prove his stamina. Three Faces West and Bertie Borrow. Again, Philip Hobbs is having a frustrating time recently. I was disappointed with Three Faces West. He's been beaten favourite on his last 4 starts. His last 3 starts. Bertie Borrow is starting to come down to a nice mark, but he's struggled to jump recently. Just Apart is very interesting, but he won the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown last year and will no doubt have this as a prep for that, as he'll be still off a very workable mark. Wilton Milan again is another horse who's very hard to win with and doesn't jump as good as he used to. Again, process of elimination, God's Me Judge, who was sent a favourite last time out at Doncaster behind Centaur in a good race. And at one point, he looked like he was having the race run to suit. He dropped out a little bit tamely, but he did plug on. And he hasn't won for a while. But, again, he's starting to edge down the weights once again. And a lot of these are out of nick. David Dennis never seems to be out of nick, though, to be fair. So I would give a chance to God's Me Judge.
God's Me Judge then for Ross, David Dennis and Wayne Hutchinson teaming up in the 410 at Exeter. The final race on today's podcast comes up in the shape of the 420 at Wetherby with a 2 mile handicap hurdle for us here. 9 runners down to contest this. Talk us through this bunch, Ross.
Also a nightmare. You've given us a right bunch of races today. Hearts Hybrid to win the last time out. He usually comes late and fast. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. She's late, becoming very attractively handicapped. And Weapon of Choice is also of interest, returning back to hurdles. He's pretty interesting, I think. But I'm going to give a chance to Arthur's Secret for John Quinn. Off top weight here, mark of 119. Doesn't look that bad, really. Was a wide margin winner of a maiden hurdle at Musselburgh back in February last year. And he hasn't quite hit the heights over hurdles, but he finished fourth to a very well-handicapped horse in the shape of Cave Blanco last time here at this track. And I thought that was a good performance. He was ahead of Heartside on that occasion. And Nathan Moscrop comes on into the saddle to take off £5. So Arthur's Secret is my pick for that one.
Thank you very much. Just remind us, please, then, one more time, your four selections for the races that we've looked at on Tuesday.
Yeah, all should be decent prices as well. That's all I'm saying in the 4 o'clock. Daylight in the 4:30, they're both at Suttle. We'll go for a God's Me Judge in the 4:10 at Exeter and Arthur's Secret in the 4:20 Wetherby.
Thank you very much, Ross, and enjoy the action on Tuesday.
Thank you, Sam. Good night and good work.
And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50pm on Tuesday afternoon with Darren Owen, Andrew Mountain, Rory Delaghi guiding you through the three domestic fixtures at Kelso, Taunton and Suttle. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.